Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's always a pleasure to be in the house of God. Always enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that they get in their debates and disputes and their sword fights and their crosses, you know, about the necessity of being in God's house. Well, that's okay. While they're out there wrestling and fighting about the need or if it's not necessary or if we can get together at home or not, I enjoy coming to the house of the Lord, amen, and fellowshipping with the saints of God, amen. You know, the thing is when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and pass from death unto life, you love the brethren and you enjoy going to the house of God and you're not going to find yourself on the internet or in some blog site or somewhere disputing the fact if you need to be in church or not, amen. You're going to find a place and you, well, I went to this church and I didn't like it in this one. Well, let me tell you something. When you got the love of the God in you and the Holy Ghost, you will find a place to fellowship and to worship the Lord God, and you'll find a brotherhood, amen, that you're looking forward to be with and around, amen. The problem is they want to make it everybody else's problem. Well, this church got problems, this one's got problems. No, they got the problem, amen. So the thing is we can find a place that we can come together in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ and come together and hear the words of God and the thanks of God and the things that are pleasing unto Him. Let's pray together while we're standing together. Amen. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to be here, Lord God, knowing that this is Your work and Your people and Your church, Lord God. And I'm just a servant, Lord God, of You, Father. This is, again, I don't make the decision what's best for these brothers and sisters, Lord, knowing that these are Yours, Father. And I yield myself and I say, edify, encourage, exhort, and strengthen, Lord God. Bind us together, Father, with the bond of charity, Lord, that nothing could set us apart, Father. Help us, be with us, and bless us. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of people that have a confidence in their mind and in their understanding, and they feel like they're Christians and they're born again. And they have a confidence because they got confidence in a man. They got confidence in certain things, maybe because they go to the right church or said the right prayer or maybe raised up in the right family. And I see many people with a confidence, and they really, truly have what they would call a confidence, which even gives them a false sense of peace. And they think that they're okay with God. And you say, well, you know, if they got peace, it's got to be from the Holy Ghost. Well, there's some temporal things, and there's some lying signs and wonders. And there are some deceiving powers. Do you realize that when the people that were in the Sanhedrin, a very powerful religious sect of people, that there were many that were amongst them and walked with them, that while they were putting children of God to death and doing the things that they were doing and smiting prophets and men of God upon the face and doing those kind of things, that they felt like they was in the perfect will of God, and they were absolutely 100% in rebellion against the word and the mind of the Lord, but they had a peace. They felt like, oh man, we're the chosen people and the chosen ones. You know, brethren, when you learn to discern, a lot of people, as Brother Pike used to say, they have evil surmising and a gift of suspicion. And they say, I've got discernment. I just can tell you what this man is thinking. I can tell you what he feels about me. And there are people, brethren, outside of spirit-filled people, and there's people that don't have the Holy Ghost that are very keen or more gifted in somewhat of discernment. I've taught messages here in this church on intellectual discernment. You know, when you get into psychology, brothers and sisters, psychology could help you by mannerisms, by body languages, or whatever, a lot of these things, and you could tell a lot about a person. But I'm going to tell you something. Psychology will let you down and fail you. Psychology isn't always accurate. But I'll tell you one thing that always is, it's the spirit of truth, amen. A man could be shaking hands with you, smiling at you and saying, I love you. But the spirit of revelation, the spirit of God, the spirit of the Lord could be speaking to you. And I could remember as I was sitting down with a man, this has been many, many years ago, I was sitting there and he was speaking about a pastor and telling me the problems and the complications of this church and all these kind of things. And I'm sitting there and was new up here in this area, was trying to build a new work and was, you know, when you're starting new work, you're looking to bring people in and get help and this and that. And I was, you know, encouraged to be sitting in a man's home talking about the things of God. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and He said, this is going to be you very soon. And I remember it broke my heart. I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's like, you know, speaking to somebody and you in your heart are thinking, hey, man, praise God. You know, this is a soul and this is one that's going to come in and help us. And then all of a sudden the Lord speaks while the guy's smiling at you and talking to you like He's going to be your right-hand man, so to speak. And all of a sudden the Lord says, this will be you. He was crucifying another man of God. And He said, this will be you soon. And that broke my heart. I remember sitting there and this guy's looking at me, probably goes, what happened to him? But I mean, it just, my countenance, I'm sure, changed. I remember how this thing overwhelmed me. And you say, well, was that discernment? No, that was a word of knowledge. And it came that way. Who brings that? The Holy Ghost. When does He bring that? When He wants to. Maybe He could have hid that from me a little longer. Maybe He could have hid that thing from me and I never would have saw it until it happened and took place. But many times I know the Lord has done spoke. The Lord has shown me. And thanks, and I go on, still do what I can. Even though you know what the outcome is, or you know what it's going to be, you still go on, because the Lord has His way in all of those things. Amen. You got to learn the will and the way of God. And the thing is a lot of times people are under the false doctrine and the false ideology, I may say, of thinking that when you are in the will of God, that everything is going good. And everything's going perfect. And everything's going with no complications and no problems. I'm sorry, I don't preach that doctrine. I don't teach that doctrine. Some of these people present Christianity. Oh man, come be with us. And man, everything's just, you know, for the old worldly expression's sake, just a bed of roses. You know, I would sure like to explain that to when I read my New Testament about the early church. All the different persecutions and tribulations that they went through. You know, and people think, well, Brother Rob, you know, you don't want to discourage people from becoming a Christian. Well, I don't want to paint some pretty picture with them that when they come around, that, you know, that when the going gets a little bit tough, they ain't got enough strength with them. My father, I can remember speaking to him many, many years ago. I'm talking back in the early 80s. We were having some problems with some of these pilots wanting to work and stuff like that. You know, and I'm not saying I was exhorting my father or reproving my father, but I told my dad, I said, when this guy comes in for a job and you hire him, you know, and you talk about the flying and all the things we're going to do, you know, but then he has to come here and help wash his airplane or put oil in it or have to do some of these things. And some of these pilots were so prima donna, they didn't think, you know, well, I'm going to get out of the airplane. Do you get somebody else to tie it down for me? Get somebody else to wash it. You know, I said, we need to make sure that when they come in for an interview, they're going to know, hey, look, buddy, you're going to wash your own airplane. You're going to take care of it. You're going to get dirty. And I'm sorry, you know, for your little prima donna self-exalted self that you're going to have to get out of the pilot seat once in a while and maybe do something. Well, that's where my Christianity is. I could talk about all the good things of God. Brethren, I could talk about the blessings, the provisions, the peace, the love, the mercy, the kindness, and the grace. But also, I'm not presenting things to people. They need to know that God also is a chastening God that loves His people. Amen. I tell you, so oftentimes, parents make the mistake, I could say, about not being in proper balance. I love to see parents love their children. I love to see parents show mercy to children. I love to see parents sometimes show mercy and maybe act to even what it appear to overlook, maybe something to show a little mercy to them or be a little long-suffering with them. And some of us are maybe weak in that area. But on the other hand, if that's all you see something that's totally 100% out of balance. Amen. Christian way, Christian walk, there's demands. There's demands on us. There's expectations of us as Christians. You know, there's nothing more than we like to get together as men or brethren, get together and just kind of, for expression's sake, let our hair down, just relax a little bit. Sometimes the minister, when he gets an opportunity, he does that. Because a lot of times he's been on guard. He's been under the guns. He's been in before the enemy. You know, and you just do that. And sometimes it feels good just to let your arms hang at your side. You know, and sit down. Now, I don't know if you have enough understanding and discernment to know that when you're in the presence of some people, your spirit man is standing up in a very defensive stance. You know, and he's watching, he's keeping his eye locked on, and he's not moving. That's not a comfortable position. You know, if you're going to be around somebody that all the time that you feel like is going to stick you with a knife or hit you with a club or do something to you, you can't really relax. You got to stay very keen, very sharp all the time. And this is where we have to be in the presence of our enemy. And sometimes people, they call themselves Christians and stuff, and they would absolutely, that's exactly what they do. They keep you in that kind of a position when you're around. Some men commented to me the other evening, more than one, they commented about an individual that would appear that they said, boy, he was really had his crosshairs, so to speak, on Brother Rob. And I'd already made some things very clear of my intentions, my purpose, and my plans, and what I was doing, and then was later spoken to in the perspective of, well, I don't agree with this. I don't think you should this or that. And I said, I'm not doing that. That's already what I've said. You know, so, and sometimes people fail to listen. They'll be thinking so hard of what they're going to say or what they're going to do that you're shut off, that they don't hear. And when the explanation and the things have come forth or been said. Let's read some scripture this evening. And I'm not sure exactly why the Lord would bring us to this particular passage of scriptures. It's very common to me. I understand it. I've walked in it, been by this. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, is a passage of scriptures that has been removed from the Bibles in most of our fellowships and in most of our churches. It is something that people don't think is necessary. They don't think you're godly if you do this. They don't think you have the love of God. As an individual called my daughter Stephanie and questioned her. She said, don't you love your sister? You know, and they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand what being led by the Spirit of God is. They don't understand the move of God. Brethren, the last two services here, Friday and Sunday, were very strong services. I realize that. The last thing I want to do, you're wonderful people. The last thing I want to do is come wear you out. But then yet I see that some have been rocked to sleep. You know, we talk about the anesthesia of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost comes in and ministers anesthesia while the minister cuts you open and maybe takes some things out. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes, you know, we got to look at the other side. Sometimes the enemy causes an anesthesia like and you get numb in your mind. You don't care. You understand? You take a man that's in that kind of state of mind under an anesthesia, man, it's, they get a little bit loopy and a little bit would be uncaring or nonchalant, you might say, and wouldn't seem to matter to them. So I find that with all of the strong messages, all the crying out, the reproofs, exhortations, and the different things going on, I still find the fact is that some are walking as no fear of God and would have no really, they almost seem to be unconcerned. And you know, it's the little allowances, the little foxes, the little things, and all of a sudden you'll see them. It starts getting easier for them. You know, many times, you know, you think as a pastor, well, I can unveil, but I show mercy and I preach the gospel. And yes, sometimes the messages go forth are for everybody. It's for every man and woman in here. Some of them, it might be a little bit more fitting to. I mean, that they would be maybe needed more so. You see, if you've got a slight infection in your body, a little bit of antibiotic might be good for you. But somebody could be so eat up so bad that they really need a lot. And while they're being administered a greater, stronger dose, you still could use some to get some of the impurities out of your body. So just using that as an example, I'm not a real big individual on antibiotics. I do know they save lives. And I could talk about the multiplied millions of people that have had their lives spared. But antibiotics is one drug that is probably abused more in our day and hour than any drug ever. And, you know, are you speaking as a medical doctor? No, I'm speaking with common sense. I find people don't have the ability to fight things in their bodies like before or like it should be. There's more sicknesses today and there's more medicine being sold in this day and hour than any other time. And people are pumping full of antibiotics and antibiotics and antibiotics and their systems are not learning to fight. You know, let me give you an example of what I'm saying. People like to take vitamin C. Boy, I know I'm going to pump myself full of vitamin C. I'm going to put vitamin C. Do you realize that when you pump your system down with vitamin C in the winter months and back off in the summer, you're doing yourself a lot of harm? And there's a disease, I don't remember the name of it, and it causes a complication in your body. There are things that people think that they're doing right, but they're confusing their system because their system will quit making or processing something itself because you're putting it in. Do you realize your system's designed when it needs something? In many cases, it'll do. Am I against nutrition? Am I against vitamins and those things? No, not whatsoever at all. But I'm talking about many times people are pumping things in and eating things, and then they just quit, and it takes their body a while or doesn't maybe catch back up. There's people on thyroid medicines. Some people have to be on because their thyroids have quit. And they got to have some of these things for their health. And I thank God for medications again. But there's other times that people could have done other things to maybe stimulate the thyroid. But the doctors will give them synthetic medicines and they'll start taking them. And then the thyroid totally quits and shuts down and stops. And you're dependent to stay on that for the rest of your life. Antibiotics, again, save lives. But what they're doing is people are pumping down with them every time a little thing. The doctor's going to prescribe you something when you go in, or you ain't going to go back. If you go into a doctor and say, oh, everything's fine, you could go on back home, just drink plenty of water and stuff. No, they're going to prescribe you something to let you know that you need them. They don't have any problem prescribing antibiotics, antibiotics, antibiotics. And your body's got natural antibiotics that are going to fight sicknesses and different kind of things. And yes, sometimes you'll need some help. I've taken them. I've had them prescribed to me. But I'm telling you, there's people that their children are prone to illnesses and sicknesses on a continuous basis, and their little bodies are not fighting at all. And it's because of the medical field. If you have a problem with that, I'm sorry. You just keep doing it your way, and I'm going to pray and trust. Amen. I might be on antibiotics tomorrow, brethren. I don't know. I pray and hope not. But I'm just saying we need to use a little bit of wisdom and try to find the will and the mind of God and not walk in the fear. And I can tell you again, there's thousands of people that are alive on this planet right now, or maybe I might even say hundreds of thousands, due to one thing, the use of antibiotics. They found a man here just the other day that had been bit by a flea that was on a rat. And that's the way 30% of the world's population was killed off back in, I believe, the 1500s by the Black Plague. And the thing is antibiotics could have stopped that mass death. And so the thing is yes, there are things that are coming upon Americans today and people throughout the world that are antibiotic resistant. They don't work and resist against it. So if you're going to put your trust in something today, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there might be a day that the doctors say, we have no healing medicines. Then what do? We start praying and trying to get faith. Let's try to get faith and pray when they do have their medications. Amen. And not get dependent upon those things. Okay, 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter here, we'll go to the first verse. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, but one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to go on because there's some things where I'm wanting to go, but this verse 5, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas on that. And I've learned to differentiate. I've done this for many, many years and break things down. The average Christian person says that this has to do with could be a man among you, and you turn him over to the destruction of the flesh for his spirit could be saved. And you say, do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? I could say when you start differentiating things, there could be a time that that may be applicable. But in the just of this, most of the time is what this goes on. We're going to find out we remove this one. Turn this one over to the destruction of their flesh. And the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ within the church. It's removing one that it would save the Spirit of Christ within the church body itself. So it's a removing them out of the body of Christ. Brother Pike brought this out numerous times. And when I first heard that, it was totally different than what I'd been taught throughout most of the churches and the way most people would believe that. So the thing is that, you know, where you go with that, I'll leave it with you. Just trust and pray and hope that you have an understanding for such a thing. Now, let's read on here just a little bit, verse 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye need go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do ye judge them that are within? I want you to think about this. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Do you realize the kind of problems it causes when a minister acts on those kind of things today? 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Let's go back to the first verse again. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? You realize these religious people in these organizations, they'll always come and find fault with you about judging and stuff like that, but then yet they'll go to the world and expect some carnal-minded, drunk, fornicating, heathen judge to make judgments for them. And then they'll sit and look at a man of God and say, who do you think you are to judge? Or a good godly person or a Christian person. It says, do ye know not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and ye are unworthy to judge the smallest matters, know ye not that we shall judge angels? I mean, next time somebody comes and says you can't judge, say, what are you talking about? I'm going to be judging the angels. Don't you like the Word of God? I love the Word of God. You know, this message could strengthen people in wrong. They're just are so critical in their judgment. They're around spewing and cutting everybody up and judging. They're better than everybody. And this kind of message will strengthen somebody like that, where they need to just get humbled themselves and find the will and the mind of God. But then yet, on the other hand, when you're walking in holiness and filled with the Spirit of God and walking in righteousness, this is speaking. I know who I am, brethren, in Christ. I'm not out here spewing and vomiting and judging and cutting and killing and slicing people up. I'm not doing that. But I'll tell you what, I've got to make some judgments, brethren. Do you realize that if I don't remove somebody from this work of God, you know, that I can find myself in real problems? Sometimes you get so heartbroken and so tore up because somebody's removed, when what we need to be doing is rejoicing in the Lord, because they were nothing but a thorn in the flesh. Nothing but a problem, nothing but causing complications in the house of God on a continuous basis, warring against the ministry and the children of God. You know, we've got to come to a place in our life to just be at peace with God and say, you know what, Lord, you have your vessels to honor and some to dishonor, and here I am. But we got to judge these matters righteously, brethren. We got to judge these things through the will and the mind of God. Let's go on here just a little bit. I won't keep you too long this evening. It says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? How much more are we going to have to judge these fornicators and drunkards and whoremongers and reprobates and perverts that come into here? How much more so are we going to have to make judgments when these people start walking contrary and disorderly? How come they always want to teach us that, you know, if we are born again, we have this compassion? I wished I would have brought this letter to read to you. It was a powerful, powerful interview. Or it was an interview with a television man or whatever, and it was with a pastor. And this host continually tried to make this pastor evil and wicked because of a stance against sodomy. And he kept trying to do it. And this man, I would love to sit under this preacher for a while and grow and learn something. He kept just pushing at him, you know, thinking like, you know, man, you just, you know, so full of hate and this and that. And he kept twisting and twisting and twisting. But this guy was so smooth in his answers and in the way that I would like to read it, because I saw such a wisdom that this man used. And he done what I think I would have done. I would have got my point across, but I think I would have been a little bit stronger about it. He was just nice about it. When I tell somebody they're on their way to hell, they feel the flames of hell, but he had them drinking tea on their way, smiling, you know. But they were going to the same place, you know what I'm saying? So he was just maybe a little better at it than me. But he done a wonderful job, and he could probably help some people that I couldn't help. And I think I might be able to help some that he couldn't get to either with his approach. But it was very good. I learned something. Let's go on here just a little bit. I'm over 1 Corinthians 6. Again, I won't keep you too long this evening. The 3rd chapter. We'll just read this a little bit more. It says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life," to now, judgment today, now. Okay, let's go find the apostles. Let's go find the prophets. Let's go get the evangelist. Let's go find the most of wisdom among us. Is that what it's saying here? It's not what it's saying, is it, brethren? It says, verse 4 again, "If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." In other words, these worldly matters, brethren, these worldly things that we should be making judgments on, let the least of you in the church be taking care of them things, making these judgments. And possibly, when you think of Moses, when he had to start pulling some help and numbering some people to help him, he was overwhelmed. And we talk about even in the early church and the deacons and things that were said to be servants to help serve and take care of things. A minister to be given in hospitality, and these servants come in to help them take care of these things with these people. And we say, hey, let them take care of some of these things. You know, that they could be about these other matters. I don't like to make things, you know, one thing maybe more important than another, but we have allegories that we got to watch. And if I was a physician in an emergency room, I'm, yes, very concerned physician when the little child comes in with a little one stitch needed on the little finger. You know, that's important. You know, you don't want to say, go home and put a Band-Aid on it. You know, they'll show the concern for that. But they may not seem to be too concerned about the little one stitch that needs to be in the finger when there's another man that his heart has quit laying on the gurney right beside him. You know, there's things that do take priorities. Amen. And this is just order in the house of God, how we should do things. And you should have these things in your spirit when these people out there that are living in their perversion, when somebody tells you, now listen to me closely. I want you to listen to this. When somebody tells you that you cannot judge, I want you to listen to me. I got everybody's attention now, because sometimes our minds are wandering. We're thinking, well, this and that. But the next time somebody comes to you and tells you that you can't judge, you just remember one thing, that was a devil speaking to you. And they're speaking that to you because they don't want to be judged and put into hell. Okay, Holy Ghost-filled people do not say that. Men or women that are filled with God's Spirit, that are Holy Ghost-filled, do not say that. Because they know they've got a spirit within them that is judging all things because they're spiritual. And they're judging the matters, and they're judging all things with righteous, holy, godly, just judgment and righteous judgment. So when people speak this thing to you, they're reprobates, they're perverts, they're lost, they're heathens, and they need to be cast out from among you. That's hard, isn't it? I'm sorry, that's kind of tough talk there, isn't it? We better start dividing the lines. And we better start choosing sides, because that's where we're at right now. We're choosing sides, brethren. And the thing is if this flock keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller as people are choosing their sides for the world, for the things of the world, I've got a continual warfare going on right here amongst this small flock. There's people that are out there all the time feeding and eating. They're watching their televisions. They're listening to their radio programs. They're listening to their own kind of music. They've got their blogs. They've got their internet. They've got their friends. They've got all this. And they're making their decision. They're being weighed in the balances. And brethren, I'm telling you, there's people going to be cut off. I'm sorry. I'm going to stand with clarity before the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach strong. I'm numbered as strong. I was speaking with a man a few hundred miles away from here today. And he said, yes, that's a very common thing said about you. You're just too strong, Brother Rob. Well, you know what? I don't want to be numbered too strong, but I sure don't want to be numbered too weak neither. You understand that? And I apologize, brethren, if I'm too strong. But I don't know how to be nice to devils. You know, when I see them with their shrewdness and they're so slimy and they come slivering in amongst you with their little quotes of the Bible and their little religious quirks and their little this and that. You know what? I try to think, well, I'm going to spare them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to work with them and stuff. And I'd like to start meeting them at the door and just absolutely with the swords like the cherubims have crossed there and not even let them walk in the door. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, we're a soul winning church. You know, we got to let them in the door. I say, yay and amen. And I'll let them in the door, brethren. But I also know the door goes both ways and I'll let them out also. When they come in, we'll love them. We'll try to lead them. We'll try to teach them. I was just talking with Brother Michael Beachy about this singing group that just came down. He said, Brother Rob, I knew it was going to cause me problems. And he said, you know, they come in amongst us. I had the war with the short pants. I had the war with this. And they brought a lot of people in. He said, there's a side of me that says, open up the doors for the highways and the byways and them things to come in. But he said, it causes problems. And I'll tell you, I can say the same thing. If you want to think back just not too long ago, we opened up out here for these Baptist mission group or whatever it is, the orphanage, however you want to say it. And we went over and maybe we were just going over there to maybe glean this little wife of my grandson's out there. I don't know. I just try to find the leading of the Lord and follow the path of God. But the thing is we went over and brought some things over and shared with them and tried to add an increase to help their ministry. We invited them over here, you know, and they'd come up with their 2 15 passenger vans or three. And, you know, I expected them not to be dressed in holiness like we did, but I never expected for little girls to get out of them vans with their little shorty shorts on. And I'm like, wow. And my wife says, what did you expect? You know, and I thought, wow. And she says, I'm rough. You know, what did you expect? I didn't expect shorty shorts. I promise you. I'm ignorant, I guess. But I never expected hot pants, man. I'll promise you that. You know, and I couldn't hurt these kids. These kids don't know. They've never been taught. This is the way their whore mothers dress. This is the way their whoremongering fathers have allowed it. You know, when mothers are stripping off their children and they're painting them up and taking little girls and putting the lipstick and the earrings on them, the mother may as well just slice their throats, I'm telling you. And you say, man, I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's because you're a filthy, perverted, reprobate devil. That's why. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to take a little girl and make her grow up to look like some kind of woman. And why do women do all that stuff? Because they want to get the man's eye. Why does a woman want to get the man's eye? Because the woman's a whore. And you say, come on, Brother Rob, don't be so strong. You know, but listen, brethren, we're going to have to start making some deciding lines here. Or either that I'm absolutely an arrogant, ignorant, hard, strong fool. You know, and all this world is right and I'm wrong. Or we're going to have to start making some things. Do you believe it's a small flock? Don't you have a little bit of fear? Look at the way that we preach in the message and look at the ones that have left here. I could name some names of some people that left here. Okay, because I'm too strong. But I go over and look at what they're doing with their lives and the things that are going on. I got a report about here just in the last couple of days about a couple little young gals that are like, probably around 15, 16, maybe 17. I don't know how old they are. They've lost their virtue. You know? Why? Because mom and dads have turned into whores and whoremongers and departed the faith. You know? And what do you expect for your children? You think your little girls are going to keep their virtue when there's no standards? I ran into some little young ladies that used to be holiness sisters, used to go to a place called Little Bethlehem, and you'd see them walking in the eloquence and the, or elegance of the beauty of holiness and things like that. And I'd never seen a whore look any worse than some of the filth I saw show up at that funeral the other day. There's divorces, separations. You know, and we say, well, these are our sisters. These are our brothers. No, they're reprobate, filthy, perverted devils that have departed the faith and departed the truth. And it was to be made manifest that they were never of us. And then there's people out there that are pumping their filth and they're pumping their doctrines that they're one with us and they're part of this thing. You know, my grandson was told here just the other day, he said, man, there's been no need of work since Calvary. That is the biggest lie ever. Let me ask you a question. Was the book of James inscribed before or after Calvary? Now, James, is it a New Testament book? Okay. And was these exhortations going to people after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, people don't understand what works are. You know, and I don't teach salvation is coming by works. But I'll tell you what, I sure ain't ignorant enough to tell somebody that there's no need of works since Calvary. And they think they got revelation? That's the biggest bunch of vomit and the most ignorant doctrine and ideology of flesh and demons that there ever was. Why would the God send the fivefold ministry if there's no need? Oh, well, those are for them over there that's under the schoolmasters, but we've elevated to such a place. Well, when you're elevated into such a place, you know what we're going to see in the elevation? We're going to see godliness and holiness and righteousness and virtue and love. And we're going to see people being drawn unto the kingdom of God. I know that we're in a day and hour of a cutting off, and we're in a day and hour of gross darkness. And the plea of evangelism is departing, brethren. You know, I watch my spirit. And you say, well, maybe it's just you got the problem. And that's the first place I look. I say, God, you know, I don't want to lose my love for the heathen. I don't want to lose my love for evangelism. I don't want to lose my desire to see souls brought in the kingdom. But if God quits drawing, brethren, I could be the most evangelistic person you've ever met. I could push over and I could go bang on doors and I could go in the highways, the byways. I can go into the edges and I can be compelling this and that. But if the Spirit of God's not drawing, brother, it ain't going to do no good. Just maybe make me feel a little better. Oh boy, I'm an evangelist, praise God. Are you saying it's done? I'm telling you, let me ask you then. When we talk about gross darkness, we talk about the Spirit of the Lord departing this world, do you think He's going to be drawing then? No, judgment comes, wrath comes. Do you think people are going to be convicted and drawn by the Holy Ghost during this tribulation period? They're going to be screaming out against God. They're going to be crying out for rocks to come down on them. They're going to be looking towards heaven and cursing and screaming against God. Brethren, I'm watching this changeover. I'm watching things happen. People could be right in your presence, man, and they could be upset and mad at God. Man, it don't work with me. I don't get mad at God. I'm telling you, there's something in my spirit that how could I get mad at something that is perfect, something that is pure, something that is holy, something that is godly, something that created me, something that could take the breath out of my lungs or put it in, something that could remove the candlestick. You know what I'm saying? Why would I even have a thought against Him? Why would I have any jealous thoughts or anything? How could I? He's my God. If He takes my wife, if He takes my children, or if He takes me and casts me into hell, you couldn't even have one bad thought towards Him because He is a righteous, pure God. And if you could really come to that kind of a feeling about Him, He would never let you lose one. You understand that? But you've got to come to a place that you've got to trust Him and love Him with all and never question Him. How could you even for a second question Him? If it's a loved one that their days are short, why would you question Him? You understand? You can't question Him. He knows what's best. He knows what's good. As that preacher said to me, he goes, you tell me when I was 12 years old, what could have been good about me losing my mother? That's a man without the Spirit of God. He knows what's right. He knows what's best. I could share things with you, make your hair stand up on the back of your head. And you say, how could that have been good for you, Brother Rob? Because maybe it's molded me into a place that I could stand before somebody that their world is totally destroyed and say, brother, there's hope. Man, God is good. You can come through this thing. And you know, there's people that are walking in such a sissified way right now. They're walking in such a weak, weak way. They're walking in such a way that, you know, it's like, where's your strength? Where's the power? Where's the anointing? You know? We got so many examples in the scriptures and in the Word of God of what is expected of us. There's so many things going on right now in our day. Everybody's being bundled in their little groups. You know, I find the Trinitarians bundling over here against the oneness. The oneness bundling over here against the Trinitarians. The Branhamites over here bundling over, you know, against this part. And this one's over here. Some of them we'll say maybe the Pikeites. And they're over here and they're bashing heads. So what kind of foolishness is that? That's got to be the biggest bunch of ignorance that there ever was. It's like two little children. I can remember this being in elementary school. I thought my dad was the most powerful man in the world. He was my daddy. And my dad will whoop your dad's hind end. No, my daddy will whoop, man, my dad would whoop your tail, boy. My dad would whoop your daddy's tail. I tell you, there ain't no chance. You know, that's children. That's the way children think. You understand that? This is what people do. You know, well, let me tell you something. You know, Apollos, I'll tell you what. You know, but who added the increase? One waters, another one does this. But all these people are entering in their little bundles over here and bundles over there, all chiding and fighting. And let me tell you something. There's wonderful people in the Branham Move. There's wonderful people that would be considered as Bethelites over on that side of the thing. There's wonderful people over in the Trinitarian Move. There's some wonderful people in the Catholic Church. You say, man, you're messed up, Brother Rob. Well, my wife used to be a Catholic, and she's a wonderful individual. She got born again, got filled with the Spirit of God, and she came out of it. So don't you think there might be another one over there in Catholicism? Don't you think there might be another one over there? And let me tell you something. I don't care where you go. If you want to go over and find out where Jesus was at, and he had one of them was a devil. So the thing is if you think because there's a devil over there in that church, an angel of God, I'm sorry. You're going to have devils among you. And they'll always be around, and you're never going to run from them. Well, I want to find that church that ain't got no devil in it. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus went by himself up there on the mountain. And there was the devil there with him, perplexing him and challenging him and pushing him. And he went up there by himself. And if he's going to come over there where the Son of God's at over there dwelling himself, I'll guarantee he's going to come wherever you're at. Amen. You say, yeah, but where two or three of us come together, the Lord's there present. And the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil was there also. Amen. Let's go on here just a little bit. I'm going to square up here pretty directly. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:4. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to be judged who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? I'm wondering, Lord, if there's any wise man in some of these works. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? You want us to do what, Lord? You want us to take the wrong? Oh, that sorry, no good individual. I ain't going to let him do that to me. That's the book of Rob there was talking for a second, huh? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Where is your charity? Where is your long-suffering? Why would God allow you this? Because it might be for perfecting you, some of these things that we go through. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, not abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what they've given for a definition for the abusers of themselves with mankind is? A sodomite. I read in another definition, I just pulled it up right there, but there's, you know, you got your Greeks, you got your Mickelson or whatever, there's all these different aids, you know, for looking up these words and stuff, but this, help me pronounce that again, effeminate? That is like a feminine person, a man. We spoke about this here not too many days back. But you take a man that's feminine, you know, and he's got mannerisms like a woman and real feminine. No, it's not pleasing to God. Oh, but that's just the way he is. Let me share a little bit out of that interview. And I am going to bring it back and read to you. But just in this interview, they attacked this preacher. And they said, look, this is the way they were designed or God made them. And you're going against their inner core because they're supposed to... You know, this is what God made them to be, these men to love men. And you're going against their inner core. And this guy's reply to that, he goes, well, you're going against my inner core, and that's Christ. And he says, and you're sitting telling me that I'm supposed to accept this, and then you're making me to be the one full of hate. You're making me to be this one with all this stuff, you know, of the hate and the bigot and all this kind of stuff, when you're doing that to me. You know, he said, you want to... not allow these kind of conversations to go forth. And he said, you're the one that started the conversation. You asked me. But he said, you're trying to stop these conversations and make it where they won't go forth, for we won't have the opportunity to expose these. Same man was very good in exposing, bringing to light. And he turned the thing right around on this host. It was a beautiful interview. God doesn't like a feminine man. And you'd say, well, you know, that's just the way their nature is. No. Their mothers and their fathers weren't watching and they let them go that direction. I'm sorry to say that. You know, when a dad sees his little boy getting a little bit too feminine, acting a little bit sissy, dad needs to whoop his hind in. My son raised up with three girls in the house. Yeah, his sister's put dresses on him before. Fixed him up a little bit. He came through. I don't see too much feminine in him. You know, and then we mistake masculinity sometimes with some overconfident macho thing, you know, like a caveman. I don't think we have to be some kind of brute, arrogant jerk that pushes our way through life in such a way. Got to be a balance in a lot of these kind of perspectives of thought. Let me read just a little bit more and we're going to close up. It says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, I tell you what, I guess in this present day religion, it's okay for all these to make it in. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now I'm going to ask a question here in closing. It says, and such were some of you in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now let me ask you a question about verse 11. Does verse 11 is something that's applied to me as a blood-bought, born-again son of God that I could keep all of the former things that it just said? Could I be considered as justified and sanctified if I'm still walking in fornication, idolatry, adultery, if I'm feminine and woman acting as a man, infeminine, if I'm abuser of themselves with mankind, and they put this down as sodomy? But let me ask you this, when these people are cutting themselves, is that an abuser? Are you abusing yourself when you're cutting your flesh? You know, when you're cutting big holes in your earlobes, man, and putting these gauges in there for you could look ignorant. I mean, is this some sort of abuse? I mean, to me, I would call it abuse. You know, if a daddy takes and paddles his little kid and puts a little red mark on their hind end, they say that's abuse. No, abuse is them cutting big old holes in there and running bones through their nose and tattooing themselves. Verse 11, one more time. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me. Oh, here we go now. I said I was going to close. I should have stopped at verse 11. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's good, isn't it? Let's go on. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Let me ask you this, if you're using your body for fornication, could it be the Lord's body? Something to think about, huh? And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? The answers are all in the Word, aren't they? So if I think I've come to some great revelation, some kind of great understanding that I've been washed in the blood and my sins have been forgiven and I've been justified by the Spirit of God and sanctified, but then yet I use my body in such a way as this, it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? The Bible said friendship with the world is adultery in God. It's harlotry. Being friend with the world. We got to back up over to the chapter before where we just read about eating even with these fornicators and even sitting and eating with them, numbering ourselves with them. It teaches us to put them out, to separate from them. But then yet we come to some great powerful revelation that we think it's the love of God to just frolic. I'm going to go sit in the sports clubs with them. I'm going to go sit in the bars with them. I'm going to go in their houses and drink with them and fellowship with them. And I'm going to watch their sports and their ball games on the TVs with them. And I'm going to sit and call myself a son of God. I'm going to call myself a child of God. Come on, brethren. Let's get real with God. Let's get real. Let's get on fire for the Lord. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Now, if I go back up and read just up a couple verses up, it said that the adulterers and the fornicators and the harlot, they're not going to make it in. Is this correct? So, what? Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Please understand that. You're not your own. Oh, I make my decisions. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to. You know, you're not your own. You don't do that. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Oh, but he just looks on our heart. Come on now. He just looks on your heart. A man that sat under Brother Pike claiming to be his best friend makes a statement just the other day. He goes, well, God only looks on your heart. When the Bible says a man's heart is continually evil and wicked and divisive. You know, and yeah, God's looking on that. Yeah, you're in trouble, buddy. Man's heart is continually evil and wicked. It just shows they don't know the scriptures nor the word of God or have the spirit of God. They're puffed up in vain ideology is all it is. What know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Verse 16 again. What know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So now we back up to the previous chapter and we find out why, when they're walking in idolatry or fornication and those things, why we break fellowship with them. Because we could be one with it. The thing is a man came to me when I was there at Little Bethlehem, and I was in the ministry of helps under Brother Pike. And a man came to me. I was working out in Brother George's front yard. I was digging, putting a water pipe in. Was doing some plumbing. I'd been under his house. I was out in the front. I had to dig down. Was putting in a water faucet in the front. And I'm down in this ditch, digging down in there, digging in this little trench. And I'm down there, and I'm dirty and everything. This guy comes up, and he said, are you Brother Rob? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I wanted to ask if you would marry me and my wife. I said, brother, I don't make those kind of decisions. I said, if I do those things, it's because Brother Pike, you know, would ask me to. I don't do that kind of things here. You know, I'd have to talk to the pastor. So when I went to the pastor, I said, Brother George, I said, this gentleman's name, and I told him the woman's name, and he looked at me right in the eye, and he said, well, Brother Rob, let me ask you a question. He said, would you like to bind that man to a whore? And I said, no, sir. And he goes, well, that's what you'd be doing. So I went straight to the man and said, Brother George said the woman you're wanting to marry is a whore. No, I didn't do that. You know, I had more wisdom than that, brethren. A lot of people would do that. And I just went to him, I said, sir, listen, you know, your wife has been numbered with this and been in, and she's been out and about and been back in. And I said, the thing is if she was married by one of the ministers here, it could reproach the brotherhood because of her life of going in and out. And I said, you probably would be better off to seek a ministry outside of this. And they did. They found themselves, they got themselves married. And you say, well, maybe you should have told him what the pastor said, for he wouldn't have bound himself to a whore. You know, maybe I should have. I chose not to do that. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, brethren, maybe they was going to do it anyway. But they separated and got back together, separated and got back together, separated and got back together. Why did they do that? Because she was a whore and he was one too. That's why. And you say, well, that's kind of strong. Well, we have a way of calling evil good. We've learned to do this. We've calloused ourselves, brethren. We've desensitized ourselves, and we've started watering everything down, and nothing's offensive no more. We fellowship with whores and whoremongers. We eat with them. When the Bible said here, we can't even sit and eat with them. But we have desensitized ourselves, and we don't have no problem with doing this. But according to the scriptures, we're in gross error of this. And you say, but what about Jesus when he went in and done this and we've done that and we did this? Well, this is where we got to find the mind of this, brother. And there are times that the Lord will put us among these people. And we might be rude in a way of maybe not trying to fellowship with them a little bit. But there's a way of breaking bread with people. There's a difference. And you know that when you sit down, I've had people come in my house that are wretched, filthy, and I've fixed meals for them. Am I in violation of this scripture? It's line upon line, brethren. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes and things found fault with Jesus because he went in the homes. They would be numbered unclean to go into a Gentile's home, and Jesus did that. and ate with them. So you say, well, that's a violation of Scripture, line upon line, brother. You see, the thing is there's ways that we violate the Scriptures. The thing is it said when they come among us, now you think if we open up the doors and we bring these people in among us, that I'm going to command you if we have a fellowship dinner down here that y'all push your plate away, say, I'm not going to eat with that. I know that man's not right and I know that man's wrong. You see, you might hinder us winning that man's soul. And you say, well, I'm glad you're doing this because I feel a lot better now because I go out here and slop with the swines and the pigs all the time. No, I'm not giving you that kind of a grace. I'm trying to help you to understand something here. There's a difference, brethren, when there's people out there among that and they're out there in that world and you're going out there among them, condescending down to their estate and you're trying to love them and bring them into the kingdom of God. But when they're walking and they're supposed to be among us, when they're walking among us and they're supposed to be Christians and they're supposed to be children of God and they're coming among us, this is telling us what to do. We don't even eat with them people. You understand that? You see, I have broke fellowship with family, I broke fellowship with people, and even in this church, is because there's a higher expectation of them. And I'll turn around and go sit down and eat dinner with somebody that's 15 times worse condition than they're in, that have done more violations. I might sit down with a man and woman and have a dinner with them in a restaurant, and this woman might have had more men than you could count on both feet and hands. Maybe the number of hairs on their head. You understand that? But then yet another one, it could be just a simple action that you have to break fellowship with them. You see, we got to use a little wisdom here. We got to find the mind of this and what the Scriptures are saying unto us and the Word. Because let me tell you something. There's ministers that they go out and defile homes. There ain't anything more low life than that, brethren. I can't think of anything more degrading in the mind of God than a man that calls himself a pastor, an evangelist, an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, anything to do, a deacon, that calls himself or even a Christian, I may say, and go in and undermine and bust up a home. There's nothing lower than that. Nothing. But then yet they'll go do this, and these Christian people will say, well, who are you to judge? I know who I am. And then they'll look at you and say things like, well, where's your mercy and where's your love? Well, let's just show so much love and bring him in for it to follow your home too. I had this question presented to me yesterday. He said, I want to know where your stand is on this. He said, because I see people that are taking these ministers that have been proven factual off in adultery and things like that. And he says, I don't see no Bible for that we just cut them off and put them out. And they can't be restored. I want to know how you feel about this. And I explained to him very clearly where I stand at it. And you say, well, Brother Rob, do you think if it's a minister that has been involved in immorality and fornication things, is cut off and loses and violates his right to be a pastor? Now, if I have to say yes or no, I'm going to say yes. He absolutely has to be removed. He has to be removed every time. Yes, absolutely. Every time. Is there any grace with this? Yes, there can be. There's not a lot there, but there can be. And let me explain myself. There could be a very young individual among you, very young, hadn't had a chance to really learn the tactics of warfare or the deceptive powers of Satan. Might be a child almost, a kid being groomed and prepped for the ministry. It could have even had the anointing recognized by the prophetical utterances of other ministries and prophesied over them that they would be walking in the ministry as pastors or whatever. And in their young life, they may have made some stumbles or some things or some complications or had been involved in some of these kind of things. No, you, and they might have been maybe preaching as a child in the church or this and that and started to exercise maybe the gifts and went in. And you say, well, what? And then they go and do that and you restore them. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that after they get their bearings and prove themselves, and it might be many years. It could be many years with the grief and the sorrows of their foolishness, of their childhood, or different kind of things. Yes, a man like that, that has proven himself, might be 15 years, might be something like that. And then you could grieve the Spirit of God by not, because they're going to pay the other most. And they could pay a price and be freed by the Spirit of God and go. But when you see these ones that have been in these churches and been pastoring, men like myself that have been pastoring for years and go and do those kind of things, brethren, they need to be removed and never find a place that could maybe find repentance with God. They might be able to be restored into Christianity. They may not, but they may be. But the thing is you don't restore such a one back into the sacred desk, because the thing is, it puts an uncertain sound. And when those people know that they've violated that office, then it's a different thing. I could use men like Jimmy Swaggart. And you say, but he's still doing a powerful work. He hindered that work so bad. That work has never been the same and never will be. I'm sorry to say that. That offends people. Oh, he's a fine man. Hey, you know, he made a bad mistake. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. Some of our mistakes, you know, hey, I'm sorry. We got to understand that. He could find repentance with God and go with the Lord and make it into the kingdom of God. Maybe make it in with his works burned up. But he affected a very powerful ministry, and the Lord brought the thing down. It's nowhere near the magnitude that it was at one time. This is what fornication does. This is what adultery does. This is what happens in those kind of situations. Let's stand together, brethren. I appreciate you giving us adequate time in the scriptures. You know, these are scriptures here, brethren, that are they're real, and we've got to consider them. And like my pastor used to say, you always want to have an element of grace with every law. We want to have an element of grace. You understand that? An element of grace. So we could say, man, this is what we're going to do every time. No, that's not what we're going to do every time. We're going to follow the leading of the Lord and the Spirit of God in the way we do the things that we do. I appreciate y'all, brethren, and bear with me. I love you. I'm not grieved in my heart against the brotherhood here. I love the brethren. I know I preach strong. Friday and Sunday were some strong services and things. I'm not apologizing for that by no means. But I'm seeing some things that are very frightening. I'm sorry. They are to me, because I see that with all the strong preaching and pouring my heart out, I see people just lightly esteeming it, and they got it worked out in another way, in another mind, and it's frightening to me. I'm sorry. I love people. I don't want to see souls lost. One of the last services that my daughter was in sat right back over there and had a mocking devil on her and lightly esteeming and just mocked me through the whole service. And while I was pouring my heart out, I wanted to really break and cry, but I wasn't going to show no weakness toward that demon spirit. And her and a reprobate were making plans to do exactly what they was doing, sitting mocking the man of God. The Bible said, God is not mocked. You know, people think you're just keeping stuff stirred up, Brother Rob. You're a troublemaker. You're keeping things stirred up. This is the way the world interprets this, you know. But I'm a soul winner, and I'm concerned. And the thing is that if my daughter goes and marries this man right now, she makes him a whore, makes him one, because that's what she is. You understand that? You say, that's some strong talk, preacher. Well, I'm just telling you what my Bible teaches. When a woman separates from a man, she has the right to do that. My daughter had the right to separate from my son-in-law. And it wasn't anything I could stop or say or do anything. She had that biblical right, but does not have the right to remarry. She does not have the right to date or to do those things. It is absolutely not. You say, well, you're just too tough. You need some grace. I don't need no grace. I don't give grace to whores. I don't give grace to whoremongers. I don't give grace to those things. She is not free to remarry, cut and dry. And this is why I stand where I'm at. Nothing has changed, and that's why Brother Rob can't move. You see, well, you could back off a little bit and show some grace in this situation. You say, don't you know that you're on the internet right now? People could be listening. You might be offending people. Get over it. Well, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the word. You know, if this offends you, I'm talking about my own kid. If this offends you, get over it. Well, I don't think you need to talk about it. Well, you get over that too. I'm a teacher and a preacher, and I'm trying to teach people know how to walk in the Spirit of God, how to walk in the love of God. And sometimes it's required of us. It said, if you love your child more than you do God, you're not worthy of him. So are you saying you love God more than your daughter? Sure, I do. Does this mean you don't love your daughter and what she's doing? No, it doesn't change the fact. I love my daughter. I love my daughter. That's my kid. I'd do anything for her, but right now she's unreachable by me. And she's getting harder and bitter and hate. Why is that? Because that's what the devil does when you're walking in rebellion. You understand? It's the sin of witchcraft. Somebody tell me where there's any righteous fruits in witchcraft. Come on, help me out here, brethren. Somebody tell me where righteous fruits come forth in witchcraft. What comes forth in witchcraft? Bitterness, hate, idolatry, fornication. and they'll speak all manner of evil and think they're doing it in the name of the Lord. And sad to say, there's pastors and preachers and things that are walking in this and putting Godspeed to this and putting their blessings on it and give them the hand of fellowship like that, and they will find themselves in hell. But you know what? I'm going to stand with my God, and He's a just God and a righteous God. You know, I leave it in His hands. Amen. If my daughter is serpent seed and she's made to be put into hell, I'm sorry to say this, but if that's what it is, I'm going to be praising my Lord. My God is a righteous God and mine's a just God. And you say, well, I miss her. I'd like to see her back in church. I would too. But if she's a devil, I don't miss her. And I don't want to see her back in church. I can differentiate between the devil, the Antichrist spirit, and my daughter. I want to see my daughter get filled with the Holy Ghost and born again. She's a religious individual. She's got beautiful blogs and she knows how to say things, presents herself like a little saint of God, and it's all paper mache. It's all fake. It's all unbelief. I know her son's sitting here, but he's being groomed for the ministry, and he's going to have to learn to put on his big boy boots, and he's going to have to tread through some stuff and realize, you know what? I'm going to go and serve the Lord. If my mother makes it, if my daddy makes it, if they don't make it, if my granddaddy makes it, if my grandmother makes it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. And we better get some determination, brethren, because you're going to see people that you love, people that are friends, people that you care about, you're going to see them falling away into the smut and into the mires of this world. It doesn't happen like that. Overnight, it's a slow little thing. You'll start seeing a little sign here and a little sign there, backing off here a little bit, backing off there a little bit. And pretty soon, and all those things, is the Lord allowing you to watch it and allowing you to see it. And all of a sudden, they got them. And they're not easy to get out of the hand of Satan. And you say, brother, you're a Holy Ghost filled man. You got to know how to do it. The Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. You could take authority over them demons, but as soon as you leave, they come back and bring more power and more buddies with them. The people need to learn to make a stand against the evils of Satan. Do you know the Holy Ghost preacher ain't going to be there with them all the time to run that devil off? They got to learn to get filled with the Spirit and learn to fight the good fight of faith and learn how to hold that shield of faith themselves and get that sword of the Spirit in their hand. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song, brethren. Hallelujah. As I'm numbered with the strong and the harsh, man went to Jesus. Well, I got to go bury my dad. Let the dead bury the dead. That sounds a little strong, don't it? Well, my child's sick and needs healing. This ain't for dogs. That sounds a little bit strong, don't it? So the thing is, I'm going to remain strong. If you want a weak, sissified preacher that's a compromiser, go to Joel Osteen's church. They got plenty of room over there. Amen. And you say, well, maybe I just will. Well, maybe you just might. But when you look back over this way, you're going to find out that I'm not given to change. I'm not going to compromise my dress. I'm not going to compromise the way I demand the youth to dress, the people on my platform to dress. I'm not going to change that. I'm going to hold a standard. And that's what's in me. It's in my spirit. This ain't George Pike convictions. This is the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, what I'm made of. Amen. And I love the Lord. And why people think I need to back off and compromise and make allowances for this and that, and I'm a little bit too strong. Well, I praise God that He puts some strength in me, that I'm going to make a stand against the wiles of the devil. So, you know, while you were trying to work out your own salvation, and you think that you could put your shorts on, you could go to your beaches and strip off, and then come and dress upright and come and stand before the preacher and do that, that's your business. I hope it works out well for you. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, you surely can. You can strip your clothes off, you can go to the beaches, you can do all that, and you'll get the goosebumps while you're at the beach. You'll feel the goosebumps and you'll feel the Spirit of God. But let me tell you something, I'm not going to do that. I read right here in my scriptures and in my word, right here, even tonight, amen. The thing is, brother, we're the body of the Lord, amen. And are we going to take it out there and join it to a harlot, it said? Are we going to do that? No, I'm the body of Christ, and I'm joined to a holy one, amen. My God is holy. He is the holy God. He is the Holy Spirit, amen. He is the Holy Ghost. They didn't call Him a flesh ghost. They didn't call Him a wicked ghost, a nasty ghost, a perverted ghost. They said He is a Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to serve Him with holiness. Hallelujah. Let's give Him one more hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I appreciate y'all. Brother Ed, sing another song or two before you close the service. Amen. You get Brother Gabe the dismissal. Love y'all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.